haunts. Halloween week.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Mini Med Pods. This is an episode for our Halloween special. My name is Xiao, and I'm with Simran today, and she's going to chat to us all about leukemias.
Awesome. Well, welcome back, everyone. Today's topic is mainly going to be about the acute leukemias, mainly because leukemia itself is such a big topic. So I think it'll be easier to kind of break it down or divide it into the acute and the chronic. So before I actually go into leukemia, I do want to give a bit of an overview of the lineage of blood cells, which we call formed elements. And this is important because it kind of is a foundation of leukemia, and this kind of explains the pathophysiology. So blood cells are also called formed elements, and they all arise from stem cells in the bone marrow. And these stem cells give rise to two descendants, which we call the common myeloid progenitors and the common lymphoid progenitors. Now, each of these progenitors go on their own path to produce their own set of specialized cells. So let's start with the common lymphoid progenitor. These progenitors further differentiate into natural killer cells, which are part of the innate immune system. In this podcast, we will not be discussing these cells any further. The other set of cells that differentiate from the common lymphoid progenitor is the small lymphocytes, and these include B lymphocytes and T lymphocytes. And these are types of white blood cells that are a part of the adaptive immune system. So they basically, all of these lymphocytes and white blood cells help to fight off infection. So that's your common lymphoid progenitor. Now let's discuss the common myeloid progenitor. These progenitors differentiate into a range of different specialized cells. And this includes megakaryocytes, which produce platelets. And platelets basically help us to stop bleeding in the case where we get like, you know, a mini cut or a nosebleed. And they're, in medical terms, called thrombocytes. The common myeloid progenitors also differentiate into what we call red blood cells. These are basically cells in the blood that carry oxygen, and in medical terms, they're called erythrocytes. Along with that, there's also other immune-related cells that the common myeloid progenitor cells differentiate into. So that's one of them is mast cells, which, like natural killer cells, also form part of the innate immune system. And there's also myeloblasts. And these basically give rise to mature white blood cells. So that includes basophils, neutrophils, eosinophils, and monocytes. So that's a lot of information about the lineage, but I hope this kind of gives a good overview of, you know, where all our blood cells come from.
Thanks, Simran. That sounded a lot like hematopoiesis. And I think it was really great that you started with that, because I know that hematopoiesis is such an important factor to learn before you learn about leukemia, right? Like learn normal before you learn abnormal. Mm-hmm. So with that knowledge in mind, let's start with what is leukemia and how does hematopoiesis come into it and how does it shape the classification of leukemias?
Yeah, so leukemia itself is basically a group of progressive malignant diseases that where there are cancer cells that are rapidly growing in the bone marrow. And so this can basically affect the whole pathway of formation of these blood cells. Depending on which type of leukemia there is, it can either affect, it can either begin in the lymphoid lineage or the myeloid lineage. And when you have an overgrowth of these cells, it basically kind of takes up all the space in the bone marrow. And so it compromises and dysregulates the whole process of forming blood cells. So since you've talked about hematopoiesis and the lineage, the reason why it's important is because it kind of helps with the classification. So in my mind, I think of leukemia as being classified based on cell maturity and based on lineage. So if we go by lineage, there's the lymphoid leukemias and the myeloid leukemias. So lymphoid leukemias are the ones that arise, that is basically cancer in the lymphoid lineage. So cancer of the white blood cells called lymphocytes. And myeloid leukemia is basically cancer in the cells that are produced by the myeloid lineage. So that includes other white blood cells, red blood cells, and platelets. We can also classify them based on cell maturity. So that's either acute leukemia or chronic leukemia. Acute leukemia is basically when the abnormal cells are immature, and so they're called blasts. And there's rapid progression of the acute leukemias over days to weeks. The other one is chronic leukemia. So chronic leukemia is where the abnormal cells, the cancer cells, are mature, and this is more of the slow progressive kind of leukemia. So based on this classification, based on cell maturity and cell lineage, this gives rise to four types of leukemia. So Xiao, can you tell me what are the four types of leukemia?
So you have number one, acute myeloid leukemia, number two, acute lymphoblastic leukemia, number three, chronic myeloid leukemia, and number four, chronic lymphocytic leukemia.
Great. So I hope that kind of makes sense as to why we have the four types of leukemia. So just a bit about when you would actually suspect that a person has leukemia, because no one's going to come in and say, I have leukemia. But there are some features on history and some signs that you can see that'll make you suspicious of leukemia. So leukemia itself, because it's affecting all the blood cells, it's affecting the red blood cells, the white blood cells, and the platelet function, it's more of a pancytopenia picture. So there'll be signs and symptoms of anemia, which include fatigue, weakness, pallor of the conjunctiva, so paler conjunctiva. They might have palpitations, so it might feel like their heart is racing. Patients might feel short of breath on exertion, might have some dizziness, some chest pain, and their hands and feet also may be cold. Along with that, they might also have signs and symptoms of low platelets, which we call thrombocytopenia. So this includes easy bleeding, easy bruising, bleeding from the nose or the gums. And then you're thinking, okay, that's due to defective platelet function or low platelets. And along with that, signs and symptoms of leukopenia, which is reduced white blood cell count or immature white blood cells. And so these patients can present with recurrent infections due to a weakened immune system. So this podcast, as I mentioned, we're mainly focusing on the acute leukemias. So Xiao, what are some features of acute leukemia that you can think about?
So I guess you can basically divide it into two. So if you put acute and you just focus on acute, you're looking for a sudden onset of symptoms. So you talked about days and weeks, and you're looking for someone who's coming in who's just suddenly got symptoms. What are these symptoms? These symptoms are, again, what you just talked about. So symptoms of anemia, such as they're feeling really tired all of a sudden, they're feeling really weak, they're getting quite pale. They're having palpitations in the heart, shortness of breath on exertion, or maybe they just aren't able to have enough energy or enough breath, or they're feeling puffy after doing things that they normally do around the kitchen or around the laundry. Other things are signs and symptoms of low white blood cells. So maybe they've had lots and lots of colds in the span of a month, or let's talk even shorter than that because it's acute, isn't it? So, or maybe they've come in with some weird fungal infection, which, for example, a fungal infection of your lungs, which is really, really rare in someone who's immunocompetent. Then you're also looking for low platelets. And I think this is probably one of the more common symptoms they come in with. And that's bleeding from the nose, nosebleeds that just keep bleeding, maybe even brushing your teeth and their whole gums are bleeding, or maybe they've got a swollen joint, and now they're bleeding into their joint. Along with that, they might feel really, really full, and that's mainly due to hepatosplenomegaly, which is something that happens in acute leukemia. And then you can also screen for risk factors. So if they've had a blood disorder in the past and that required chemotherapy, then they're at more risk of developing acute leukemia, radiation therapy as well. So unfortunately, if you have other cancers, you're more likely to get blood cancers. It's one of the side effects of radiation. Down syndrome has a predisposition to acute leukemia, as well as having a family history of leukemia.
Awesome. That was really good, Xiao. Thank you. So now let's go through the two acute leukemias. So I'll first start with acute myeloid leukemia. As mentioned earlier, this is a type of blood cancer that's caused by an increase in the production of immature and non-functional white myeloblasts. So again, as I mentioned, all these cells will accumulate in the bone marrow, dysregulate the process of formation of the red blood cells, white blood cells, and platelets, and then lead to the pancytopenia picture. These myeloplasts can enter into the bloodstream as well, and then they can go and affect other organs in the body, such as the skin, liver, and the brain. So acute myeloid leukemia accounts for about 80% of acute leukemia cases in adults. And there are many types of acute myeloid leukemia that are based on a classification, which is the FAB classification. This stands for French American British classification. Some examples that I want to kind of focus on in this podcast that I could think about. One is acute promyelocytic leukemia. This is important because this can actually result in a medical emergency if a patient develops disseminated intravascular coagulation. So a person will be really, really unwell. They'll have some bruising, a lot of red spots around their body, which you call petechiae. So they'll be acutely really unwell. And that's a complication. Another type of AML is acute monocytic leukemia. And these patients commonly, a very specific symptom for acute monocytic leukemia is swelling of the gums, which we call gingival hyperplasia. And another type is acute megakaryoblastic leukemia. And this is the one that's associated with Down syndrome. There's more types of AML under this classification, which you guys can have a look at in your own time. And there's also a WHO classification as well. So World Health Organization has another classification system for AML, which you can also have a read of in your own time. So some symptoms specific to AML include that they're associated with pre-existing blood-related disorders. And these patients are also at an increased risk of disseminated intravascular coagulation. Along with that, the overgrowth of the gum tissue, which I mentioned earlier, they can also have a condition which is called leukemia cutis. And that happens when the myeloblasts go and invade into the skin. And this can present as purple, blue, or grayish nodules on the skin. And it can also go and invade the brain as well, in which case patients might present with headaches, changes in vision, but this is really rare overall. So if you do suspect leukemia, there are some investigations that you can do. So Xiao, can you kind of on a top like list what kind of investigations you'd want to do for someone who's got suspected AML?
I think first starting with the diagnostic, which is actually a bone marrow biopsy. But obviously, if someone comes in, you maybe don't want to subject them to that kind of big of a procedure. So you can start off with a full blood examination. You can also do a peripheral blood smear, and you might actually be able to see the blast cells itself. Then you can also do a coagulation study, especially to rule out DIC. And I think after you do those, of course, it depends on the clinical picture, but if they're not super unwell or severely hemodynamically unstable, then you'd kind of do the bone marrow biopsy. And then, in order to help you diagnose what type, you can also think about doing genetic testing on the cancer cells as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Shao. And just about the diagnosis, with someone with acute myeloid leukemia, the peripheral blood smear should have at least, or sorry, more than 20% blast cells, which is kind of part of the clinical picture in the diagnosis of AML. A little buzzword thing in acute promyelocytic, sorry, is it pro? Yep, acute promyelocytic leukemia. A blood smear may show what we call our rods, which are myeloperoxidase positive. So that's a buzzword for acute promyelocytic leukemia. And just a bit about management. So basics of management is you can consider chemotherapy. If a person's not responding to chemotherapy or if they've got a really severe form, they might consider bone marrow transplant, which is the best definitive treatment for acute myeloid leukemia. With acute promyelocytic leukemia, there's a specific treatment which we call all-trans retinoic acid that can be given. So there's actually a lot of buzzwords for acute promyelocytic leukemia as I'm talking about it. So just a bit of a summary, there's the our rods that you can see on blood smear. You can manage it with all-trans retinoic acid. And it can develop into a medical emergency if the patient develops disseminated intravascular coagulation. So that's a bit of an overview of acute myelocytic leukemia. leukemia. Now we're going to go into acute lymphoblastic leukemia. So this is basically a type of blood cancer that's caused by an increase in the number of lymphoblasts, which again are immature and they're non-functional. And so they can accumulate into the bone marrow, in the bone marrow, result in dysregulation of the whole process of forming red blood cells, white blood cells, and platelets. And so patients present with the pancytopenia picture. Now, unlike acute myeloid leukemia, acute lymphoblastic leukemia is actually the most common blood cancer in children, especially in those that are aged between 2 to 5 years old. Compared to adults with, so adults can have lymphoblastic leukemia. It's just really rare compared to occurring in children. But if adults do get diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, they actually have a much lower survival rate compared to children. So children actually have a better prognosis with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. So, and it accounts for about 80% of overall acute leukemia cases in children. So again, children can also have acute myeloblastic leukemia, but again, it's uncommon in children in comparison to adults. So just like acute myeloid leukemia, there are many types of acute lymphoblastic leukemias. There's the B cell, which is the most common type, and there's a T cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia. There's also a specific type of B cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia, which is Burkitt's leukemia. I won't go into the specific details of these. It's just more of for your knowledge to know that there's many types. In terms of symptoms that are specific to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, along with the easy bleeding, easy bruising, recurrent infections, fatigue, shortness of breath on exertion, they can also present with fever, night sweats, and unexplained weight loss. They might also present with bone pain and tenderness. They might also have these lumps over on their body, which you call lymphadenopathy, so painless enlargement of their lymph nodes. And similar to acute myeloid leukemia, they can also have enlargement of their liver and their spleen, so they might have a sensation of early fullness in their tummy. And similar to acute myeloid leukemia, investigations are the same. You want to do a full blood examination, a peripheral blood smear. As Xiao mentioned, you can consider a bone marrow biopsy, which provides the most definitive diagnosis. So, Xiao, if you were to do a bone marrow biopsy, what are some buzzwords associated with acute lymphoblastic leukemia that you can think of?
Yes, there is a couple of special tests, and the buzzwords to remember is for acute lymphoblastic leukemia, they are CALA, CALLA, and TDT positive.
Awesome, Xiao. Yes, so those are the two buzzwords for acute lymphoblastic leukemia. I'm not really sure what they stand for. It's just something that I've always remembered. Whenever they do a bone marrow biopsy and they say that they're CALA and TDT positive, think ALL. Management again is similar to AML. You want to consider chemotherapy if the best definitive treatment would be a bone marrow transplant. I don't think every child would have a bone marrow transplant or every patient. So those are just the options. And I think it just depends again on the severity of the case, the treating physician's clinical judgment, and what they want to do. Just a bit about prognosis. So I found this really interesting. So as I mentioned earlier, children who have ALL have a better prognosis than adults. So if we look at the 5-year survival rate, 90% of children have a good 5-year survival rate in comparison to 35% in adults. So hopefully that kind of gives you a bit of an indication as to how serious ALL can be in an adult.
That's great, Simran. Thank you so much for giving us a nice overview of AML as well as ALL. So, just to end up this podcast, let's go into some quick questioning time.
All right, so Xiao, I'm going to see how much you remembered from this podcast. So you're on the
I'm
hot
ready.
seat. Good. So I'll just ask you some questions and then just let me know, like just give me an answer what you think. And if it's not right, that's totally fine. We can talk about it. So which acute leukemia is more common in adults?
AML, acute myeloid leukemia.
Yes, good. Okay, so a person presents with fatigue, shortness of breath on exertion, recurrent infections, some bruising, And you do a full blood exam, which shows low red blood cells, low platelets, increased white blood cells. And you do a peripheral blood film and you see our rods.
I know it's a type of acute leukemia, particularly AML. Just give me 1 second so I don't stuff up its name. Acute promyelocytic leukemia.
Awesome. That was the answer. I'm really proud of you. You've been listening.
Thank you.
All right. So similar picture, but the peripheral blood smear shows that the cells are positive for TDT.
I remember this because I had to say the buzzword. So this is ALL, acute lymphoblastic leukemia.
Awesome. So apart from the positive TDT, what's another buzzword for ALL?
Positive CALLA, CALLA.
Good. What is the specific treatment for acute promyelocytic leukemia?
I believe it's all trans retinoic acid.
Yeah, good, good. So if you could summarize in your own words, what's your understanding of acute leukemia? How would you kind of summarize it in a few sentences?
So, acute leukemia is a cancer of the blood. It's part of the hematological specialty. And basically, acute means that it's very fast onset. And because it is very fast onset, the leukemia characteristically tends to be blast cells. So, you've got way too many blast cells being produced in your bone marrow, and that spills out into your blood. And because the factory is totally overwhelmed, as in your bone marrow is totally overwhelmed, that's why you get the red blood cells and the platelets being affected, and that's why they go down.
Awesome. That was a great summary shout. I think this is a good place to wrap things up. I hope this was helpful for everyone. If you have any questions or if you'd like us to go into a bit more detail into any of these leukemias, you can have separate podcasts for AML, ALL in the future. I just wanted this to be more of an overview to kind of get you guys comfortable with the topic and just introduce it.
Thank you so much, Simran, once again for, spending your time and teaching us all about acute leukemias. I know it's been another big topic, but it seems like our Halloween week is full of big topics. And thank you guys, our listeners. I hope you did just as well. I didn't realize that I would get most of the questions right, so that was pretty cool. But I hope you guys at home did just as well. And you also participated in the questioning and answer. Now, if you like our podcast, please feel free to listen to more. And please feel free, of course, to follow us wherever your favorite podcast platforms are. If you would like to contact us, we're contactable over Facebook. Our page is MiniMedPods, and our email is minimedpods@gmail.com. Well, I guess this is goodbye from Xiao and goodbye from Simran. And we hope to see you once again a little bit later in the future because our exams are coming up. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.